As we read the scripture from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Now hear God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Thus far ends the reading. Let's pray. Father, we are here today, we are here this morning to worship you. And we're grateful, Lord, that you give us these truths, you equip us with this armor. We ask, Lord, that you would bless Pastor Finley as he would proclaim the word, that you would grant him a clarity and a joy and an enthusiasm and a convicting power. We rejoice, Lord, in hearing your truth proclaimed. We're grateful for that. Please bless us now as we would rejoice in your truth and in your protection. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
The movie Hacksaw Ridge is a 2016 World War II film that is based upon a true story about a conscientious objector, Desmond T. Doss, who joined the Army to serve as a medic. The officer who authorized his deployment is quoted in the movie as saying, "You are free to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself." Fortunately, there were soldiers who carried weapons that protected both Doss and the men he treated medically. The Bible does not contain any quotation that resembles the one taken from the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Jesus never said, "You are free to run into the hellfire battle without a single weapon to protect yourself." Instead, Jesus has supplied you with an entire arsenal of weapons with which to take your stand, with which to do spiritual battle. Jesus commands you to take up arms and engage the enemy forces of this dark world. Jesus provides all the battle gear needed for victory. He has given us an ammunition belt, a two-edged sword, and a shield with which to protect ourselves. The title of this morning's message is The Shield of Faith. The dictionary definition of shield is as follows: a piece of personal armor held in the hand or mounted on the wrist or forearm. Shields are used to intercept specific attacks, whether from close-range weaponry or projectiles such as arrows, by means of active blocks, as well as to provide passive protection by closing one or more lines of engagement during combat. The shield of faith provides protection from several specific attacks. Faith acts as a shield and provides protection from falsehood, protection from fear, protection from filth, and protection from fractures. Let's look at first of these several protections, the protection from falsehood. Weapons must be made from materials that are of highest quality. That is in order for them to be effective. Although weapons are sometimes constructed from artificial materials, such weapons are nothing more than toys or movie props, and movie props can never stand up or withstand punishment that actually occurs in battle. Roman soldiers were given a shield during Bible days that was large, curved, and rectangular, constructed from three sheets of wood glued together, an ancient plywood of sorts, covered with canvas and leather, and arrows could not penetrate the Roman shield because it wasn't made of paper or plastic or of some other flimsy material. It was durable because it was made from what was durable material, nothing flimsy or artificial. The Apostle Paul produced his metaphor from such an understanding of ancient soldiering. Jesus has given us a shield that is durable, a shield which wards off Satan's arrows, a shield that the sustained attacks of the devil cannot penetrate, one that is genuine and not artificial. Our shield is durable. Our faith is durable because it attaches itself to what is authentic, real, and true. Satan wants us to embrace artificial things, yet he doesn't want us to treat them as if they were artificial. When giving a toy to a child, we know it's a toy, and the child knows it's a toy. But the devil wants us to treat fake things as though they are real, false things as though they are true. The devil wants for us to believe lies, to live the lie. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 reads, "They exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." The shield of faith is given for the same purpose that every other piece of God's armor is given to believers, to assist us in our battle for the truth. Verse 14 says that the ammunition belt that is buckled around your waist is filled with truth. What's more, we have been given footwear that enables us to march forward in advancing the truth, enables us to carry the gospel forward. And the shield of faith guards and protects the truth and protects us from false truth claims, false teachers, and false gospels. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 reads, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, "Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 reads, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor." Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This shield is given to us to protect us from falsehood. It enables us to guard the truth, guard ourselves from deception. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 reads, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 reads, "Therefore, dear brothers, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 reads, "Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching you have heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." The shield of faith enables us to guard the truth, to protect the truth, enables us to be protected from falsehood. But the shield of faith not only furnishes protection from falsehood, it also protects us from fear. The second protection the shield of faith provides for us, it provides protection from fear. Cowards are people who lack the courage necessary to fight. Many become so frightened during battle that they turn tail and run. Either that or they surrender without even putting up much of a fight. We sometimes expend too little effort in fighting temptation. When tempted to sin, we sometimes surrender without much of a fight. But believers are called to engage the enemy, to fight the good fight of faith, to stand our ground. In our scripture portion for this morning, three times Paul tells us to stand our ground. Verse 13, "Stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, and with your feet fitted, stand." Three times it mentions we are to stand and we are to fight. You see, we sometimes give up too easily because we fear we will lose the battle. The enemy looks so imposing. The enemy appears to be too large. The first Israelite spies, when they went into Canaan land, reported the size of the foe and that there were giants too large to conquer. We sometimes give up too easily because we fear we will lose the battle. But keep in mind, it doesn't matter the size of the dog in the fight. What matters is the size of the fight in the dog. And the Lord grows our faith and He grows our courage. And it's the Lord who empowers us for battle. He enlarges our capacity to fight. He empowers and equips us with His Holy Spirit. He gives us an ammunition belt filled with truth. He gives us faith for a shield, faith to protect us from the devil and the world. Most of all, to protect us from ourselves and from the idea that our victory depends upon ourselves. Faith is like a shield that protects us from claiming a righteousness of our own, protects us from the subsequent fear that follows from knowing that our own good works cannot save us. The illustration I like to use quite frequently is that of the publican and the Pharisee. And we're told there that it was the publican who went away justified. We must not lose sight of this very fact, of this very important fact. The battle belongs to the Lord, and He's there on our behalf. It's not a battle that we can fight in our own strength. There's no victory in depending upon ourselves or relying upon our own flesh. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And flesh and blood cannot win this battle. Victory cannot be accomplished by legal means. The victory must come by gospel means. Men overwhelmed by fear, by their inability to earn salvation through law-keeping, they overcome their timidity by faith and the shield of protection that faith provides. Faith provides protection against the flesh. Our confidence to enter heaven rests solely on the shoulders of another, on the back of a person who carried the cross and our sin on his back. Our confidence to enter and conquer the land, to enter heaven, rests completely upon the vicarious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus' death on your behalf eradicates your fear of guilt and eliminates every concern you ought to have regarding condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3, verse 12 reads this way. It says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. John chapter 5, verse 24. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 23. You've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. The grace of the gospel eliminates our sense of fear, our sense of dread. Faith, fixing itself upon Jesus, shields us from the terrors of our own sin, protects us from cowardice. Yes, indeed, the gospel produces courage in our hearts. It girds up the loins of our minds and prepares us for the battle. It is the face of death, more than anything else, that is most responsible for destroying a soldier's courage. Now imagine for a moment. Imagine an army that thought it was invincible. Imagine an army that believed it could not die, despite the enormous size of the enemy or the task at hand. Now imagine an army that not only thought it was invincible, not only believed it could not die, but an army that literally was invincible and could not die. Imagine the courage that would inspire in the soldiers of such an army. Imagine an army that is actually invincible. Beloved in Christ, you belong to such an army as this, because you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 24. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The third protection that faith shields us from, or the third protection of this shield of faith, is this shield protects us from filth. Sin has contaminated the souls of men, has done so since near the beginning of time. Therefore, men's hearts and souls are corrupt and filthy and in need of cleansing. This need for cleansing is evident in Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The permanent solution of man's sin problem is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus provides permanent cleansing from sin, but we must treat it as such. We must treat this cleansing as something that is permanent and not something just temporary. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our desire ought to be for more than God's forgiveness. We should have an equally strong desire for God to keep us clean. The shield of faith protects us from falsehood, but it also protects us from the filth and contamination introduced through false teaching, introduced through falsehood. Filth introduced by false teachers. Filth and falsehood are oftentimes corrupt companions that frequently travel together. They are cohorts in crime. False teachers promote lewd and lascivious behavior, promote vile and disgusting acts, and they do so in the name of Christian freedom. Now let me make this as simple and uncomplicated as possible. Sinful habits do not emancipate. They do not liberate. They make us into slaves. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. God's word says plenty about false teachers and their pupils, those who are eager to teach or to learn an antinomian gospel, those who turn grace into a license to sin. But the scripture says that they are worse than those who never heard the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. For speaking loud boast of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in its mire. Jesus Christ has purified and sanctified you. He's washed you in his blood, has provided permanent cleansing, enabling you to walk worthy of the high calling with which he's called you heavenward. And he's provided you a shield to protect you. Faith acting as a shield to shield you from corruption, the corruption of this world. It is the shield of faith. And this shield of faith, it not only protects you from the defilements of this world, it also distinguishes what you are now from what you once were. It distinguishes you from this world, makes you distinct from this present evil age. Ephesians 4:22. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupt in accordance with the lust of deceit. Ephesians 4, verses 29 through 32 reads, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In other words, filth comes in many forms. The 29th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians speaks of unwholesome talk and how we are to refrain from such talk, from such speech. Profanity is the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of unwholesome talk. Swearing, cursing, cussing. There's a euphemism for cussing. We call it an expletive when we don't want to be entirely honest about how someone speaks. And then we have those who use this phrase after saying something they ought not say, pardon my French. The Christian's speech should be clean and pure, never needing to be accompanied by an apology, pardon my French. Ephesians 5:4 says this, says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. The New Living Translation renders it this way, says, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. As Christians, you are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. You are called to purity. You are called to holiness. So be holy, for God is holy. I said that profanity is the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about unwholesome speech or talk. Maybe the first thing that comes to someone's mind, but it's not the only thing. When Paul mentions unwholesome talk in Ephesians 4:29, he includes other forms of unwholesome speech: gossip, telling lies, criticizing others, grumbling and complaining, dirty jokes. These are all included there. We truly haven't cleaned up our speech until we offer up words of encouragement to others, until we offer up thanksgiving and praise to God for what He's done. One other thing, the shield of faith not only allows us to guard our tongues, but it protects us entirely, body and soul. Your entire Christian self is protected, is shielded by faith in Jesus Christ. You are shielded from everything that is tainted and polluted. It protects you from every lewd and lascivious word, thought, or deed. We've probably lost as many soldiers to disease as to bullet wounds themselves. You see, injured limbs must be kept clean. And this is difficult to accomplish on a battlefield where there's no antiseptic or clean bandages available. Wounds fester when they cannot be kept clean. Infection occurs, gangrene sets in, and in worst instances, infection results in death. Many spiritual battles have been lost because people let themselves become dirty. But Jesus made you clean, made new men of each and every one here. You are new creatures in Christ Jesus, not a dog that you should return to your own vomit. You're not a sow that you should return to the mud, to the mire. Jesus has made you clean, and Jesus intends to keep you clean. And for this reason, He has given you a shield of faith to protect you from filth. So be clean, be pure, be holy. The shield of faith protects you from filth. There's one other thing it protects you from. It protects you from fractures. This is the final protection we'll be looking at this morning pertaining to the shield of faith. The final protection that faith as the shield protects you from, it provides protection from fractures. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us why pastors, why ministers exist in Christ's church. We're told there that ministers serve three purposes or functions expressed by three prepositional phrases. They exist for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ. The work of ministry given to ministers or pastors is primarily a ministry of the Word, God's Word. It's a preaching ministry. Romans 10 reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and that hearing comes by and is built upon God's Word. The primary role of a pastor involves the perfecting of the saints. That is, it has an eschatological or end times focus. It seeks to achieve a heavenly end, which is known as Christian maturity. Now keep in mind, Christian maturity is not merely a perfection that touches the individual, but it's a perfection meant for the entire body of Christ. See, we get too focused on the individual, we get too focused on the self. Our own importance and pride can raise or rear its ugly head. See, this has always been the temptation that individual believers must overcome, the temptation of self-importance or pride. The reputation of the Corinthian church was, it was filled with divisions. But understand, potential for division exists in every church. And the minister's role in perfecting the saints is largely a mission to bring unity and cohesiveness to the members of Christ's church. That is, it does not merely target individuals. It's a collective goal for the collective whole. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. The shield of faith protects us from schisms and divisions and enables us to share in the bond of love. I have one last thing to say about this shield of faith, and that is this. It is a blood-stained shield. This spiritual battle is blood-stained. The ammunition belt is blood-stained. The breastplate is blood-stained. The footwear is blood-stained. The sword and the shield are both blood-stained. The entire armor worn by Christians is blood-stained. And the battle itself is a bloodbath. And yet, not one of you shed 1 ounce of blood to secure or procure victory in this war. Not one drop of your blood was spilled, but Jesus Christ gave every ounce of his blood to secure your victory over sin. He has purchased you, made you his own, and he's enlisted you to be his good soldier in his fine army. You have been bought at tremendous cost, purchased at enormous price, procured by the precious blood of the spotless Lamb. With that in mind, fellow soldier of Christ's army, I ask you this question. You who are so well equipped to do spiritual battle, are you willing to fight? Then stand your ground. Take up your shield in this battle for your sanctification. Raise this shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Raise the shield and raise it high and go to war, knowing that Christ shed his blood for you. The movie Hacksaw Ridge is a 2016 World War II film that is based on a true story about a conscientious objector, Desmond T. Doss, who joined the Army to serve as a medic. The officer who authorized his deployment is quoted in the movie as saying, "You are free to run in the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself." Fortunately, there were soldiers who carried weapons that protected both Doss and the men he treated medically. The Bible does not contain any quotation that resembles the one taken from the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Jesus never said, "You are free to run into the hell fire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself." No, Jesus commands you to take up arms and engage the enemy forces of this dark world. He's given you his shield of faith, which furnishes protection from falsehood, protection from fear, protection from filth, and protection from fractures. Use this shield and be on guard until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen and amen.